Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta. Here's the podcast for Repurposed. Enjoy the conversation.
People ask why it is that I was spared and maybe somebody else wasn't.
Yeah.
Jay, why were you chosen? And that's a question I don't have a firm answer to, but I am working on it. I search knowing that we all have a reason for being alive in this book of life. But I feel like I've been given an extra chapter, and whatever his plans are for me, I am his.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teaches Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach true wealth. For more information on Teaches Financial Group, go to teachesfinancial.com. On this week's episode, I'm bringing you part two of an interview with a local guy from right here in Wilmer, Minnesota, named Jay Tornquist. He is 60 years old and has an absolutely incredible story of being healed of leukemia. Last week in part one, Jay shared his amazing story. He was diagnosed with cancer, was treated for about a month or so, and then was given 2 months to live with or without treatment. He and his wife, Kathy, decide to just stop treatment, leave the hospital the following week, and then enter hospice care in their home. But God had a different plan. Here's a little recap of Jay's testimony from last week. Take a listen.
Sunday, the day we chose, no more, nothing else. On Monday, they came in to do the transfusion. They took my blood. It had gone, for the first time in 2 months, it had gone from, went up. It went from 5 to 10.
Wow.
With nothing.
Wow.
Doctor said, great, no transfusion today. Nice. We'll have it set up for tomorrow. Next day they came in. It had gone from 10 to 32.
No kidding.
Next day. By now we got family calling in every hour of the month today. I got extra doctors coming in because it just doesn't happen.
Sure.
The next day it went to 67. By the end of the week, it was 419, almost over the top of what normal is. Wow. My dad asked my brother, do I need to quit praying? I said, no, Dad, you keep on praying.
That's awesome. So what, like, at this point, the momentum is starting to shift?
Oh, momentum, not starting, it shifted.
Yeah. Did you know that you were, it was done, like it was over, or is it just kind of like a little peak before another valley hits? Well, are you thinking about going home at this point? Like, what's the plan?
Well, they had already determined to send me home at the end of the week. I was going home on hospice. I was going home
Like, if you're going to leave the hospital with no more treatment, it's like if you're calling in hospice just to keep you comfortable at home
it
before.
It was already set up.
No kidding. So now all of a sudden it changes from hospice to like, you're actually getting healthier.
At the end of the week, I said to the doctor, I said, does this change my prognosis? And he smiled and said, sure does.
What did they say?
They didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting down the medical community.
Absolutely.
They didn't have an answer. And in fact, when we left the hospital on that Saturday.
You left on that Saturday?
On that Saturday. We had left 7 days after we'd been told that we have 2 months to live.
No kidding.
Now my blood's back to normal. I walked out of the hospital, and on the way out, 20 nurses lined up, 10 on each side, blowing bubbles. And we got to the end, and one of them said, do you understand we're in the midst of a miracle? This never happens.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I think we do.
Well, that was a little recap of part one of Jay Tornquist's interview right here on Repurpose. No doubt it was an absolute miracle. Today, I'm still happy to report Jay is in really great health. In fact, I play pickup basketball with this guy every Friday. It is seriously impressive. If you want to listen to the full episode from last week, just go to myfaithradio.com. Now, here's part two of my interview with Jay Tornquist. Faith a little bit. Were you raised in a Christian household? Talk about that and kind of how that developed, and I'd love to hear how that changed or strengthened or maybe morphed since this experience.
Sure. I was raised in a Christian household. I grew up in a small town not too far from here, Kirkhoven, and my parents were strong believers. I grew up with that being a part of my faith. And it had been how I tried to live. But the part about knowing that you were going to go to heaven when you died...
helped, I'm sure, a little.
It did, but I actually had... That had happened 25 years ago. I was fishing up in Canada. I was 200 miles from the nearest road. It was a Sunday night. I had a week till they were going to communicate with me. And my brother and I had an accident. The knife slipped and it cut my arm straight to the bone. And I was sitting there bleeding and looking down. I knew I was going to die because there was nothing to do. I figured we hit an artery and it was, and we're walking up and I turned to my brother and I said, Rod, I need you to take care of Kathy and the kids. I said, cause I'm not going to get back. And we both knew it. And,
you've got a pretty nasty scar on your
arm. I've got it. It's a reminder.
you've got two pretty impressive reminders.
I've got some good
this
reminders.
This one's more visual.
Right.
Okay.
And at that moment, as I was walking up, I had the craziest feeling. And I told him this on the way up. I said, I should be scared to death. But I'm actually excited. Huh. I'm going home to be with Jesus.
Right.
And it's one thing to say it. It's another one to live it.
Yeah.
When you look down and you know you're going to die.
Yeah.
And then to have that peace that passes understanding in your heart was incredible. It never left me. That changed me in my walk, in my everyday walk.
Even back then,
for years.
Yeah.
But then when this resurfaced and I was given another death, prognosis.
Yeah.
It was just as strong. It was just as strong. Nothing, it hadn't changed one iota. And so I live each day, Jared, I live each day with that truth. No matter what, good day, bad day, easy day, whatever it might be, I live with the truth that this is my temporary home.
Yeah.
And someday I'm going to die. Someday this body's going to wear out in a different way. Or in the same way. Or whatever it might be.
Right.
But I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. And that's my driving force.
Yeah.
And to God be the glory for that.
Yeah. What do you say to people out there that are just, you get caught up? And I fall into that category. You know, you find yourself,
right.
We complain about getting stopped at a stoplight. Right. And, so what? My healthy kid threw a temper tantrum today. You know what I mean? Like, what do you say to those people who just get caught up in the day-to-day? Is there anything that you can say? Like, what's the most impactful thing that you can say to somebody? Because you meet these folks, they hear your story, and their eyes are kind of open. Like, what advice do you have for them to just live each day the way that you live it?
Well, can I answer that twofold?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, the first one would be is that enjoy the walk, enjoy the journey. We've been given this gift of life. None of us knows when it's going to end. Enjoy the journey. An example of that was I went down to mail my property taxes on May 15th or whenever they were due.
Okay.
At 4:40 and
20 minutes before.
Exactly. And I got there and the window was open, and thankfully, because I thought, I'm going to get this done right, and I handed it to him, and I said, here, I said, I just wanted to make sure I got it mailed. And he goes, great, good idea. That'll be 50 cents. I'd forgotten to put a stamp on it. So it's a good thing that I went to the window.
Right.
Anyway, all the way there on my bike, all I could think about was get to the post office. On the way home, I just laughed at myself. First of all, I thanked my guardian angel for getting me that stamp on that envelope so I didn't have to.
Right.
But my mom said I had lots of guardian angels. But on the way home, I don't have anything to deliver. I'm driving along the same, and I hear the wind in the tree. I hear the birds chirping. I hear the girls' softball game going on down the street. I hear two little kids playing on their bikes or trikes or whatever it was on the side. I watched a rabbit jump across the road. I stopped, pulled over, and I said to myself, did I take the same way to the post office that I'm taking home?
Yeah.
And I did. But it was a whole different viewpoint.
Right.
One was just to get there, and I missed everything. Hmm. I missed everything. On the way home, I had all that. And in the midst of that, I could stop and say, thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for all that you, I mean, oh, the sun was beautiful and the all those trails of the airplanes in the sky. Yeah. I hadn't seen any of that on the way to the post office.
Right. Yeah.
So what I would say is if you're going so fast that you're missing the journey, there's slow down.
Yeah.
There's way too much. There's too much splendor in the travel.
Yeah.
So enjoy that.
Do you find yourself enjoying it more now? I'd have to say yes, but did you get caught up in seasons of life that you can look back and say, like, man, I wish that season I would have spent more time doing that, or you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Something like what you've gone through has to reset that big time.
There's a couple of, that was the other thing I was going to say is when you tell somebody something, mean it. When you tell somebody, I'll pray for you, pray for them. Because you know what? I'm here to tell you, it's life-changing.
Yeah.
It's life-saving.
Absolutely.
When you tell somebody that you love them,
Yeah.
And mean it. More than love you, which is fine, but tell it to them and mean it. You will change lives. You will change lives. And you know what the really neat thing of that is? You'll change the lives of the people that are most important to you. Could be your kids. Could be your wife. Could be the husband. Could be the person that you play noonball with. And I've done that.
Yeah.
And it changes lives and it changes perspectives.
Do you look at those opportunities? Like, again, noonball is one of them. Just your coworkers, the people that you come in contact with. How do you view your purpose now? Clearly, God's got something for you. And I tell people that all the time. If you're here sucking wind,
right,
there's something for you to do. Yeah. Whether you really believe that in your heart or not, that's the truth. I think you know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you view, what does that even mean to you at this point in the game? Like, what does that mean? Like, what's your purpose here? Since you're still here on planet Earth.
Right.
What is your purpose?
My main purpose is to bring glory to God. Because I believe that He saved me for a reason and that I can only give Him the glory. Yeah. In doing that, it's to affect those around me. It's to love and to, care for my family, my friends. There's some noon, for some that might be listening that have no idea what noonball is. It's a group of guys that have gotten together for, I've played there for over 20 years, and it can be older guys like myself, young guys in college. And what I love about it is it's, where else do I get to mingle with as a 60-year-old guy, to mingle with 18, 19, 20-year-old guys
from all over the country.
All over the country, right. And all different nationalities, just, and we all get to play basketball together. And when I was sick, I got a basketball that all these young guys signed and sent to me in my room. And I placed it right where I could see it, knowing that they cared, but knowing that someday, if I get a chance, I was going to come back and make an impact and an influence in their lives. And so when I go there each and every day, I try to make sure that they know that I care and that there's somebody there. He might be old and he might be old school.
Yeah.
He still can care.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that, because for folks listening, there's an auditorium here in Wilmer that's been around a long time. And I used to live in town here when I was going to community college here 20 plus years ago. And those guys were playing at noon every day.
It was probably me.
You're probably one of them. And then I come back here 20 years later and it's still going and I've been able to play, and that's how we've met. But you're right. It's an opportunity to get around people that I wouldn't normally get around. And again, we have a small community college here in town, so you'll get guys that are on the football team, basketball team from all over the country.
Yeah.
And they'll come and play.
Yeah.
And what an opportunity. What a testimony. What was it like coming back for the first time and seeing those guys?
Oh, it was great. We came back and we got a great welcome back.
Sure.
And even to now, this day, they'll tell me they got my back, and they know that if there's certain days that they watch over me and protect me, and they even let me make a basket once in a while. But it is a very special time, and there's, and of course we have lots of those opportunities in a community like this.
So that's crazy. If there's somebody out there listening, just struggling to live with that deeper amount of purpose, is there anything after all that you've been through? What would you tell somebody who's saying, you know, I don't really know why I'm here? What would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, that they need to, I'd have them check themselves to what, on the inside, what are you living for? You know, are you living for yourself? Are you living for others? Are you living for the Lord? And I encourage them to broaden, whether it be their faith or whether it be to others, because I think all of us get strengthened by helping others.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be volunteer, stepping out, so hard, it's so hard to find in the world you talked about on where go, 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 how do you find time to help?
Yeah.
But how many times do you hear when somebody goes on a missions trip or somebody goes and helps the Salvation Army or somebody rings a bell, as they say, I'm way more blessed.
Right.
Than the person that I was supposed to be blessing.
Yeah.
Because in our hearts, there's a desire and a need that's fulfilled with helping others.
Yeah. That's what we're created to do and to be. Right. And there's a reason why that resonates with us when we do that.
It is. Yeah. And so that's what I would encourage us, just first of all, to find. Because when you find, who am I doing these for? If everything is for yourself, it doesn't get very deep, and the reality is it never is fulfilled.
Right.
It's like I get this much money, am I satisfied? No, you need the next amount, and that's when it's all self. And so when you all of a sudden broaden to others, mm-hmm. and in your faith, you'll find a lot more satisfaction
I've had a chance to talk a little bit more about purpose when I go out and speak and stuff, and I encourage people to think about that. And I always say, if your purpose and your mission have anything to do with you, start over, because that's not why we're here.
Right.
And I always love the opening line out of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose Driven Life. I don't know if you've read it. The very first line is, it's not about you.
Right.
And we've got to get that in our brains and our souls.
Right.
You know, because you know, that's the problem with the run and gun lifestyle. It just you get the blinders on, and then your day is all about just trying to get that letter sent before 5 o'clock.
Right.
And, you know, I missed the meeting and I just hit a stoplight. And again, I'm speaking from the guy who's been that guy, you know, so long. By the way, this is a little side note for you folks. This is why I like living out here in Wilmer.
Right.
Because it's just, I'm dead serious. I probably shouldn't even talk like this, but this is why, the big city life, I struggled with it.
Oh.
Because having like the run and gun career, it was hard, and it was a fight within my own spirit, because I wanted to be able to slow down and do what you're doing, and it was so hard to do.
Right.
But I can get a piece of that out here. Not that you can't in a bigger city. I'm just saying there's something about just creating so much margin in your life where you can go to play noonball every day and have a chance to have those interactions with people. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and one side, I don't mean to extend this on you, Jared, but one side benefit of reaching out to others and being with others is when something like this does happen, I when I was sick, I had 5 people tell me before that things started to change, when I was sick and was still going to have my 2-month prognosis, I had 5 different people have dreams that's saying I was going to be okay.
Wow.
5 different contacts from all different. I teach a 7th and 8th grade Sunday school class.
You know,
and I love it. But 3 of the girls in it there went home to their families before that had even said that I was going to be okay. And they went home and they had prayed about it. And they went home and told their parents, Jay's going to be okay. That's a pretty bold statement when you're in 7th grade and you go home and say that your teacher's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I sent out a thing that said that it was not good, and they still stayed with their... Mm-hmm. At another one where my uncle saw... he had a, just a calm assurance come over him, and while he was praying, and he looked out, and an eagle was flying around it, right around his lake place, and he already, and he went, because for him it was kind of a symbolism of the eagle of,
sure,
and the eagle flew out of view, and a jaybird flew in behind, which I thought was kind of neat with a J there. And he wondered if he should even tell me that he'd had this assurance that I was going to be okay.
Just in case.
What do you say? Right. And my family said, go tell him. So he drove all the way to St. Cloud to tell me. So to get five of those, and that's from people that had either been directly or indirectly impacted by being involved in their lives and them and mine. And so... We have a support system. We need to create a support system. Yeah. And so anyway, I have so many things. I could go on, but it is for God's glory. You mentioned that, I wanted to just share one last thing. It says, people ask, why it is that I was spared and maybe somebody else wasn't.
Yeah.
Why were you chosen? And that's a question I don't have a firm answer to, but I am working on it. I search, knowing that we all have a reason for being alive in this book of life. You said that earlier. I think each of us, while we're
sucking wind,
but I feel like I've been given an extra chapter. Yeah. And whatever his plans are for me, I am his, and anything I am or ever will be for the sole purpose of bringing glory to God. Why me? Why not? I don't know. In fact, I can't even say, why not me? I mean, it's not about me.
Right.
It's not about you. Nope. It's about Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the life we live.
Yeah. Well, Jay, you got an incredible story. I really had no idea before we came into this, but I'm so excited that you got a chance to share this with me, and I'm excited for people to hear this. What an incredible story, and I'm excited to see how this story inspires others. And I think it's just a faith builder. I think that something supernatural happens when we just believe and just have faith. And obviously you're a walking testimony of that. So I'm excited to get to know you more, play some more basketball. Again, thanks for coming in. Absolutely. God bless you and your family. And, I'm just excited to see how God's going to use you and this podcast in the future. So thanks so much for being vulnerable and sharing your story today. That was awesome.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks for the opportunity.
Enjoyed this part two with Jay Tornquist. I am still just blown away by his story and his testimony. Let's do a little recap. Remember those two pieces of advice that he gave folks. Number one, he said, enjoy the journey. Remember, he told that story of riding bike to the post office, delivering his taxes. And then once he had the pressure off of delivering that piece of mail, he could see the world differently. And I'm totally guilty of this. We get way so busy that we don't enjoy the day-to-day life things, even the simple things. And number two, he said, when you tell somebody that you're going to do something, like love them or pray for them, do it and mean it. We indeed are strengthened when we help others. Jay, thank you so much for sharing your testimony and your story with me and everybody on Repurposed. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on the book by Ben Tages called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters totally free, just go to our website, tagesfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio. It's a little button in the upper right-hand corner for your free gift just for listening today. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com. And if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurposed. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurposed on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.